am a Nigerian lady who knows someone that knows someone, and that person is a friend of another. In Nigeria, everybody knows somebody.
Memoir of a Niger girl.
My diary, my friend's discussion, my acquaintance's conversation, all on this table. Follow me and let's talk.
Hello, how you doing? My angel, my one and only. I should say my listener, my one and only. How are you doing today, guys? It's raining cat and dog. I hope the rain has not really drenched you. How was your week? I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful week. My name is Helen and this is Memoir of a Niger Girl. Should we go into the podcast of the day or we should, you know, just talk around it? Okay, maybe we should just go into, because time now money, time now money. And today we're talking about money management with my amazing guest, Onye Egwego. Onye is a co-founder of MyStash, a financial management platform that allows users to make money through a seamless method of saving. She is also the co-founder of Feed Me Foundation, an NGO that is dedicated to fighting hunger in Nigeria. Onye has won Tolu Elumelu Entrepreneurship Awards in 2019. With the current state of this country, we know, you know, it is important that we all have priorities. What are your needs? What are your wants? So, today is going to be a lot about savings, having priorities, seamless savings, for example. How do I save money with this economy? In this economy, everything is just bala blowing. How do I save money? All of this we'll talk about it with Onye today. You know what to do? Stay tuned and let's learn one or two things. You know, I am open to learning. I love to learn. And this is one of the reasons this podcast is your favorite, right? Yes. Let's get into it with Onye Egwego.
Memoir of a Niger girl.
So I have with me Onye Egwego. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
You know, I was telling myself, okay, how did she even get into that Tony Elumelu Foundation Entrepreneurship Awards? You got the award in 2019. How was the journey for you?
Interesting. I think let me start from when I applied. I have something I call an idea book. I have different ideas that I feel, you know, I would execute at some point in my life. Then I had seen the ads, you know, to apply for the Tony Elumelu Foundation. And I always thought, oh, you know, it's just an idea. And there was one ad where they had said, oh, you need an idea. And I remember literally the day before the deadline, my dad had come in and on the newspaper, he showed me, you know, the Tony Elumelu Foundation ad. And he was like, I really think you should apply for this. You know, you can use that idea he spoke to me about. So at that point, there was one idea that was, you know, at the forefront of everything I wanted to do. So I literally, once my dad showed me, I just put up my hands when I started the process, finished the application in one sitting. I'm just like, you know, I've done my part, I've done my best. If they see value in my idea, then, you know, so be it. So I applied. It was very interesting when I saw my name. So, you know, in 2019, they would publish the list out and you're supposed to, like, go and check to see if you're name was published. So even before I had seen it officially, I had people calling me to say, oh, I saw your name on YouTube, I saw your name here, I saw your name there. So it was very exciting. And then I checked and I saw that, you know, I had gotten in. And I feel, aside the excitement, I was also very grateful. For me, it was like that initial validation I needed for that business idea, because then it helped that it wasn't a family member or a friend I was telling you, oh, this idea is good. It was very total strangers, an objective team of judges, you know, that had said, oh, we like how this person has articulated their idea and we feel like it's an idea we should fund that will make an impact in the country. So for me, I think from that moment of being accepted in, I was very grateful for the validation and even gave me that extra push to execute on the idea. After that, we went through this different training programs. We got paired with a mentor. That was very helpful. And then we also created like community hub. So there was a Tony Elumelu Foundation Abuja 2019 like group. That also helped, because then, you know, you're in a mix or in a community of entrepreneurs who are basically chasing the same thing. You want growth, you want to be able to make an impact in Nigeria while you're also growing your bottom line. So for me, I absolutely love the community, the friends mm-hmm. I made, the people I was able to meet through that platform. And then my mentor was also very awesome. You know, we still have a relationship up till now mm-hmm. where we chat and then, you know, talk about ways we can do things better, you know, than I'm doing now. So it was an amazing experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I always encourage people to just put your best foot forward. You never know. Because, I mean, I kept on doubting myself. I put my best foot forward and see where that got me.
Was the idea Stash HQ?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't my Stash.
Okay. But let's do it in a layman's word or a layman's idea. Because honestly, so many people are out there. We all know Tony Elumelu Foundation, but what is he like? What is he about?
Okay, so the for me, I like the fact that, you know, if you listen to one of the speeches where he was talking about the foundation and why he started it, he said where he's gotten to, he attributes a big chunk of it to luck. You know, he was lucky. He applied for a job that he didn't qualify for, but the president just decided to take a chance on him. And, you know, you can see how that brought him to where he is today. So for him, he wanted the foundation to democratize luck to different Africans. And so with that mindset and knowing that, I see that, like, that's why you don't already have to have an existing business. That's why an idea is enough. So the program that you go through, like the training programs, it teaches you how to start a business, like from the scratch. It assumes that you don't know anything. You start from, you know, the beginning, your brand name, what are you offering, what's your unique value proposition, you know, who's your target market. You go through everything. At the end of the program, you'd have created a very robust business plan that has actual strategies and activities that you undertake to grow your business. There's also a very robust financial training bit of it, where you're not able to get know how to do your financial projections, income statements, things like that. So it's like a practical MBA, so to speak, you know. And because it's very spaced out, so every week when you learn something, you're supposed to implement, you're supposed to understand it. So you're not just going to some theory class, you know. You have your mentor to also back up and say, we learned, maybe for example, we learned financial projections this week, and your mentor is there to follow up. Okay, so how are you doing your costing? How can you increase your profit? You know, you actually, and another thing about programs like this, really, you get what you put in. You know, if you're not, if you're not, they've done so much already. They're going to give you money. They're training you for free. They're connecting you to high income individuals or highly intellectual individuals. So there's only so much you can do for you. So some people may go through the program and not get out of it just because they didn't have maybe the time, or they were not intentional about it, so they didn't immerse themselves in the program, right? So I know that there are people that will be complaining, oh, it's too basic, we know this part, maybe we're waiting for the financial part. But for me, I just thought it was a great time to unlearn and relearn. Like, you can't know everything, right? Knowledge is abundant out there. So I really immersed myself in the program. I wanted to learn everything. I was very judicious with undergoing the training, submitting the assignments and things like that. So yes, it's an interactive process and all of that, but you really get what you put in.
What was the duration? What was the duration, the time frame?
When I did it, I don't quite remember for a fact, but I think it was about 8 weeks, because I know we had like one module every week, thereabouts.
Okay.
But like I said, it's you know, after the official training period, we had created communities, relationships and friendships amongst ourselves. So that support really went on for over 2 years, where we're always pushing each other, helping each other with their businesses, promoting each other's businesses. So there's also, like, you know, the benefits after the official event.
Okay. What tangible successes follow this award? Do people now take you more seriously?
Yes. I think people, yes, actually, because then, like I said, there's that validation, you know, that, and there's also that person on your person, because then sometimes people don't just buy the product or service you're selling. They're buying into, you know, your character, your integrity, your resilience as an entrepreneur. And so there's that thing of, oh, okay, you're able to get into the Tony Elumelu Foundation. You're able to finish, because not everybody finishes. You're able to finish the program, you know, and get the, you know, the end goal, the certificate, all of that. So it also, to a large extent, speaks to your character as a person and how resilient you are and how serious you take your business.
But why is this so? Why do you think they don't finish?
I think it can get overwhelming. I think that for people who perhaps are juggling a lot of things, it may be a lot. I know a case of someone who who had a 9-to-5, was already running a business and was in the program. Like, you know, when you have so many things going on, it could just be a case of, you know, let me just maybe pause this for a while, and then you probably never end up going back. So there's also that bit. And that's why I mentioned you really get what you put in.
Let's talk about my stash. I have gone through your page and I'm like, okay, this madam is really madaming. What is it about? How did you come into, I mean, you are a co-founder of this very, very beautiful brand. How did you come about that one?
Okay, so my stash is an interesting one. I went to a postgraduate diploma program NUTM, Nigeria Investment Technology and Management. It's in Lagos. During this program, that's where I met my co-founders, and four of us were having a conversation about, you know, the agri space, actually. We're thinking, oh, why can't they do this? Why can't we do that? Why can't farmers do this? And at the end of the day, all the different, ideas or solutions that we just thought of, we're like, oh, it'll end up being expensive. So we start talking about how farmers do make money. They just don't make, some don't make it in bulk. Some make it, you know, seasonally.
Right.
And we got into this rabbit hole on how managing money can be better. You know, it can be seamless. You don't have to think about it. Mm. Right. And then I remember asking, you know, what if you could just save without, you know, thinking too much, just every day, just save a little bit of money. So we then thought, how can we tie saving to something that is recurring, an activity that is recurring? And that's why we came up with the save as you spend way of saving, or the save as you earn. So, you know, you're either earning or spend. Those are two activities that are frequent with regards to money. So that way you don't have to think about saving. You don't have to even become more financially disciplined. Honestly, you don't have to do anything. You just live your life the way you're living your life and save as you go, you know, through your normal day, either through spending or earning. That's really how we started.
That is actually very interesting that you say that you can just really live your life and just save. Because are you living your life? I make 100,000 for example, and you say I should spend the whole 100,000. There's nothing to save.
Yeah. So we found that it's very difficult. When people say, you know, every month I'll save 10% of my earnings, it's quite difficult to churn out, once you get paid 100,000, for example, to churn out 10,000 naira immediately to save. You know, so what we then did was save a percentage every time you spend. So after that 100K, let's say you go, you use Uber, 2K, you save 200 naira. You buy food, 1,000, you save 100 naira, like that. Like, so 10% of everything you spend. And really, you can increase the amount you can save per when you spend or earn. But then for us, we found that was a much easier way, because then you feel like, it's just 100 naira, it's just 100 naira. But you see, those sums of money, they come into a large sum eventually. So there's this thing that is a drop of water make a mighty ocean.
Okay.
So you're saving 100 naira, 200 naira here and there, and before you know it, you have 20,000. You know, and an interesting thing we found is within our first 6 months of operating, we saw that like 90% of people on our platform were saving more than they would have ever saved if they were doing it consciously. So someone that says, I will save 10,000 naira a month on a 100,000 naira salary, ends up realizing that, they've actually saved 12,000 because of this system where they are saving in little bits and they're not even thinking about it, you know. But then when they're saving 10,000 a month, then it's like, oh my God, this 9,000 is too small. Hey, it has already finished. And then they have to go and dip back into that 10,000. But because it's little bits, turn out. Like, think about like how you go somewhere and they don't have change. You're like, so okay, let me just take sweets, you know. So that's how we thought about it. And it has worked wonders with people. And then the save as you earn, the save as you earn for mostly freelancers, small business owners, makeup artists, Instagram vendors, using that platform, then every time they, you know, make a sale or they receive money, they can save immediately. We've also been able to metamorphose that to Profits by My Stash. So that's the name of that brand now, Profits by My Stash, for business owners, where every time you make a sale, every time somebody pays you money, you can automatically save some money, either towards expanding the business, paying salaries, whatever the case may be. But at the core of it, what we want to do is to make managing money seamless. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to change who you are or your lifestyle. We'll do all the hard work for you. Yeah.
But Nigeria of today, I mean, we are all aware what is happening now. Everything is expensive and salary is very stagnant. How is it possible to actually save in today's Nigeria?
I think, you know, I was having this conversation with someone earlier today where I was saying that in terms of what's going on right now and how nobody could have seen this coming. You know how when you're making a budget, you probably put a place for miscellaneous in case something. Right. Nobody could have seen that the price of the fuel would have tripled, you know, by mid-year.
Memoir of a Niger girl.
So I was saying that we have to change our lifestyle in terms of creating priorities. You know, now you probably have to check back and see, do I really need to buy that dress? Do I need to go out for that party? Do I need to buy that ashebi? Things like that, you know. We do have to now realize what's important and what's not important and to lay hold of our priorities. Aside that, there's also the trying to increase your funds. So perhaps this is the right time to open that side hustle so that you're able to supplement the funds you already have. But I think that this period is a good time for everybody to start imbibing that skill of budgeting and just outlining what are the major costs I need. You know, for example, people don't know how much do you need to survive in a month, like necessities, you know.
Yeah.
Just what do you need to be able to survive 1 month? We need to be able to do that math to say in 1 month this is how much I need for transport, for food, for light, for water and the likes, and then ensure that you're prioritizing properly. It's a tough time, to be honest. It's very tough. I've reduced the amount of time I go out. I go out for only important things, essentials.
Right.
You know, and that's my way of just reprioritizing and making sure that I'm not, you know, going above budget. I'm not in a place where, you know, things have become extremely tight for me. So something has to give this period. But I do hopefully believe that this is just like the storm before the calm, and that eventually things will get better for us as a nation.
Or more things better becomes better, because if it doesn't, I hope it does. So let me not say if it doesn't. Let's talk about the withdrawal process. You know, how easy is it? I mean, after we put in my money, depositing my money with my stash, how easy would it be for me to withdraw my money, if need be, of course?
Okay, so on our platform, you can save in Naira, you can save in dollars, So for those two, there's something we have called a strict plan. Now, if you're saving normally in Naira or dollars, you can withdraw when you want to. You know, they have saving plans. You can save for 3 months, 6 months, and then maybe by the second month, something happens, you have an emergency, you need to withdraw, you can withdraw. But if you're on the strict plan means you have to, like, we're being very strict. Like, we're not, you know, here for anything, something happened or that. So most times the strict plans are usually for a particular goal. So you see people saving for maybe like a car, to travel, japa, something like that, right? So for the strict plan, you can't withdraw before the maturity date. So if you're on a 3 month strict plan, you can't withdraw until 3 months is complete. If you're on a 6 month strict plan, you can't withdraw until it's complete. But if you're not on the strict plan, you can withdraw anytime. It's very seamless, automatic. You just move your money to your cash reserve. Once you're there, you click on the withdraw button, you put the amount you want to withdraw, and that's it. Like, you get your money instantly.
And for the strict plan, do you get interest?
Call anybody. Sorry?
For the strict plan, do you get some interest?
Yes, for all our saving plans, you get interest, all of them. You get interest. Okay. Our interest range is from 3% to 12%, you know, depending on how long you're saving, what plan you're saving in. We've been encouraging people to save in dollars because of the fluctuation. So we have people who are saving in dollars. When we went to dollars, we're about 4-something, 5-something. Today, dollar is 800-something. So you can imagine they've also gained in terms of the exchange rate, and then we also give interest on our dollar savings.
I mean, that sounds like a very, very good plan, you know, because I know what banks are doing with the fixed deposits, for example. They don't give you enough, you know, reasonable interest. But, you know, Nigerians have problems trusting brands and everything, where you put your money there and then it's time for you to remove your money. The app is nowhere to be found.
I think that And when we started, we had that problem where, you know, people were like, how can I trust you? Where's your office? Give me your personal number. and things like that. But over time, we've been able to build a brand that people can trust, because we've stayed true to our promise, you know. Also, our customer service team is very active, and they try to respond to messages and sort out issues almost immediately. So that also helps to build trust. We also do this thing where from time to time we call some of our users and customers just to know how it's going, what their experience is like, and then we don't take feedback lightly at all. An example is people were concerned about the fluctuation of the Naira and their money reducing in value, and that was why we instituted the saving in dollars bit of it. So we don't take feedback lightly. People send us emails or messages to give feedback, and then we take it up to know these are what our customers want, this how make what will make them feel more comfortable, and also build the trust that they have in the brand. Yes. So for that, we had that in the beginning. But then what we did was we were able to reach out to the first users, first believers, to tell them that if you love our products, help us talk to your friends about it. So we had a referral program. And people were able to refer their friends and their family, you know, and I think that helped us to build a trust network of people who says, you know, I've used this product for about 3 months and it's worked. I say for 3 months, they gave me my interest, they gave me my money, when I wanted to even withdraw. There's a customer that I interacted with that would always try to withdraw in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., just, and that was in the beginning, just to be sure that, you know, we're a valid company. Like, oh, when they are sleeping, let me check. My money still come out, my money safe. And people like that are now our biggest evangelists and ambassadors. Mm. We're talking about how, oh, this product is awesome. And, you know, you can withdraw your money in the middle of the night and all of that. So, yeah. I understand because of the environment we're in now and the high cases of fraudulent companies, but we're not one of that. And we're also very invested in helping our users and customers to have a better money management skill and be able to help them to do that without them necessarily changing, you know, their lifestyle, like I said before.
You are very knowledgeable about money and markets and, of course, finance, yeah? So how do we multiply, you know, what we have now, money that we have today, in today's Nigeria? How do you multiply your money in today's Nigeria?
Okay. So I think, first of all, before even multiplying, I think that everybody should have an emergency fund. You should save money so that in case something comes up, you have something to fall back on, in case you lose your job, in case, you know, you never know what can come up. Like I said, nobody would have seen this fuel increase like this. Nobody has seen it coming, so you can see that it's sort of an emergency.
Yeah.
Another bit is, so once you have an emergency fund, then you can start saving in high interest accounts. So, for example, my Stash, like I mentioned, there are also a couple of others. Once you're done doing that, or while you do that, then you can start investing in stocks. You can start investing in bonds. Once you have an emergency fund, and then you also have savings in a high interest account. So the reason why having savings in a high interest account is important is because it's some liquid form of investment. You know, you're earning high interest rates, but then you're able to quickly liquidate that if you need funds for something. After which, the next step I would say is investing in stocks and bonds. So these are only a part of companies, and being able to earn interest on that, earn dividends on that. That's also an amazing way. And then if you have a high risk appetite, you can also go for crypto, investing in Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the likes. So most people would jump the steps and just go straight to Bitcoin. And then when Bitcoin goes down, they're like, hey, Bitcoin, you know, has dropped, and then they are panicking.
Right.
But there's some structure to it. You need to, it's like building a house. You don't just start doing the roof, right? Start from the foundation. The foundation is having an emergency fund. People will usually ask me, how much should it be? How do I know when my emergency fund is enough? And I would say, it would be great if you have 6 months of your living expenses saved as an emergency fund. Or 6 months of your salary. And, you know, when I say 6 months of your living expense, most people don't know what it is. And that's one thing I always ask people. Every time I give a talk or a webinar, I always say, my assignment to you is go back, sit down, and analyze how much you need to exist in a month. What is your survival cost for a month? How much is your expenses, your personal expenses, your lights, water, all of those things? So your emergency fund, I would advise, should be 6 months of your survival cost, you know, in a month. So 6 months of that, keep that aside. That's your emergency fund. If anything happens, you lose your job, something happens, you have enough money to fall back on. And then you go on to saving high interest yield accounts. And you can start doing things like, you know, real estate, stocks, bonds. And then for those with high risk appetite, you can do crypto. All of these things, it'll be very great if you can also get some basic knowledge for yourself. Mm-hmm. That also helps to reduce you being scammed. People don't understand Bitcoin, and then they just go to any platform, pay money, and then next thing, they don't even understand what's going on. You need to apply yourself to understand, yeah, you're not a stockbroker, you know, you're not a crypto trader, but you need to understand, how does this thing even increase in value? What are the things that drive up the value of a cryptocurrency, for example? What are the things that drive up the value of a stock, of a bond, things like that? So you need to just have basic knowledge, just so that when you see a new something on the news, you know, should I panic or not? You know, right. What does this mean for me? Should I save longer? Is this even a good time to invest more? You know, and things like that. So it's also good as an individual to apply yourself, read and understand what you're investing in, so that you're able to make better financial decisions for yourself.
I'm one of those people who, I'm always scared of the stock market, not because I have any stock there, right? But sometimes you just see the fluctuation, like, why is it fluctuating? And I always feel like I don't think it's the right, like, is a good way to actually save.
Well, it's a long-term investment plan, right? It's not, you don't invest in the stock market for just 1 month. You know, it's what they call it now, the beauty of marginal gains. You know, so today it goes up, tomorrow it goes down, but then by the time you look at it over a 1 year period, you see that you've gained 20% interest, right? And then what's the inflation rate today in Nigeria is, last I checked, about 17%. So you see that you actually still gained more interest than if you just had your Naira lying around, because your Naira would probably have been devalued by about 10 to 17%. Okay. So it's a long-term game. And that's why it's, like I said, you should have the two bases, the emergency fund and then the high interest savings account, where you can easily withdraw money. So things like stocks, I always tell people to look at it in terms of a long-term, medium to long term. You should be looking 1 year to 5 years, 1 year to 10 years. You know, that's like bonds, for example. You see 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. It's not a 1 to 2 months. So even when a company is experiencing downtime for like a month and then their stocks drop, you see that over time, before a year is even over, most times, you see that they're already going back up again. And once you do that average, you're still in the green light, right? So people need to understand what and why you're investing in a company. Don't just invest because, you just feel like it's nice. You need to understand what their historical data is, like how they've been performing. And if you're analyzing that, you will then see the pattern. What makes them drop? Do they drop every election? Do you see? Do they drop every time that maybe there's food scarcity? Do they drop when Russia and Ukraine are fighting? Like, things like that. Like, you start seeing the pattern, so that when a drop happens, you see, I see that, you know what happened, but that's because maybe the U.S. is having elections.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, relax. So once the election is done, you know that, you know, the drop is over, you are going back. So it's important to have this information and to do that research to understand what you're getting yourself into, you know. You see, now there's a lot of financial advice on Instagram, on TikTok, but then they usually start or end with, this is not financial advice. Do this at your own risk.
Because you
need to understand this for yourself. So you're not going to say, hey, Onye said I should do this, and then this is happening. You need to understand, because Onye has taken that time to understand the historical data and to understand what works for me, you know, in terms of my risk appetite. So to understand, I have an emergency fund, so I should be able to be comfortable putting my money in stock and seeing it maybe dwindle for 1 year, 2 years, you know. I know that, okay, I'm playing a long-term game. But for somebody who hasn't done the research, who is not playing the long-term game, they're giving themselves, you know, anxiety and high blood pressure because something is going wrong. So it's very important. That's something that I believe that every young Nigerian, every young African should be doing. You know, invest yourselves in understanding what the factors behind the things that you see in the financial markets today.
Talking about the Instagram advices and this is not your financial advice, whatever. I've also read that people are saying, now people are suffering this and that. They are going to put their houses up for sale. You should take advantage of buying it. What do you think about that? Does it make sense?
Well, I think that you may never know the full picture. Are people putting their houses up for sale because things are hard, or because they are leaving the country and don't need the house anymore? So there's also that. And then, are you the individual who's considering buying the house? What is the plan? You know, What's your game plan? Is it a short-term investment? Is it a long-term investment? Do you want to buy it to resell? You know, what is the resale value? Some houses in some areas, they have very low resale value because the amount of money you're buying it at, you've already maxed out the maximum value for that house. You know, say for example, you're buying a house for 70 million and the most expensive property in that area is maybe 75 million. You've sort of maxed it out, right? Sure. So you need to understand basically that area, the value of the place and what your long-term plan is, what your short-term plan is. Do you want to buy the house and convert it to a rental property? Do you want to buy the house and convert it to Airbnb? You know, in converting it, how much is it going to cost you? You're going to buy a house, renovate, all of that. If the house is 70 million, renovation is going to cost maybe 10 million. Is it worth it in terms of putting it back in the market as a rental value? How much is how much does that area command in terms of rental value? So these are in-depth analysis, and this is why you don't just take financial advice
online
on the surface. You need to you can get inspired online.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that okay, this is an opportunity I should explore online. But you cannot absolve yourself of the need to do the research. If you wouldn't do it yourself, get a trusted person, whether paid or unpaid, to do that research for you and give you the analysis. But you as a person need to know what you're looking out for. What's my end goal in terms of this, you know, buying this property? And, how much return on investment do I want to get? So some people is, I just want to have a property my children can inherit.
Hmm.
So for them, it's not necessarily an investment where they want return on investment. They want to be able to leave something for their children. So for them, all this plenty, math I'm doing may not necessarily, suffice. Just I want property that my children can inherit. So they buy the house,
right.
And then they're able to rent it. They don't really care what the rental value is because at the end of the day, all my children, when they are grown up, to be able to inherit the place. So you need to know what your goal is as a person, or as a family, or whatever the case may be, and then be able to analyze, what your goal is. Sometimes you see that, once you do the analysis, if it's a rental value, you see that in rental property, you see that perhaps the rental value is too small, and then it'll probably take you like 15 years to get your capital back. And then by the time you even factor in inflation, then you realize that, okay, this doesn't make sense, right? So that's very important, being able to have that goal or know what that goal is and, work it backwards to see, would this help me to hit my goal eventually?
But buying a property in Nigeria right now, do you think is a smart move for youth, because sometimes for youth, yes,
okay. I think it depends on so many things. It depends on where and why, right? Perhaps, for example, somebody who lives in Abuja or let me not use Abuja, maybe less crowded states, maybe Uyo, for example, right?
Yeah,
do you want to buy a property in Uyo? Comparing to someone that wants to buy a property in Lagos, in maybe the Lagos Island, there's a huge disparity in terms of cost, and there's a huge disparity in terms of value, value of the house, value of what you can use it to do. For somebody that buys property in Lagos Island, it may be much easier for you to put it up, with the Airbnb model and have different guests coming and they pay you per night. But in Uyo, which may not have as much foot traffic and tourist traffic as Lagos, you see that. So with regards to financial decisions, you don't use a blanket statement or a blanket advice. So it really depends on what the values and what you want to use it for. But I think that it's very interesting. Real estate is very interesting. I think that young people can start looking into diversifying their investments, right? Most people just think of only stocks and bonds. When it comes and cryptocurrency, when it comes to saving, but real estate is also an important and an interesting way to manage your money. There are also other startups that allow you to invest in real estate in fractional pieces, so you don't have to have 100 million to have a property.
Yeah.
You can just buy a bit of a property. So perhaps you own 1/10 of a property, and those properties are usually rental properties, so that at the end of the year they can then share some dividends or some return on investment to say, you own 1/10 of this property, so you're going to get 1/10 of the rent and things like that. So let's also be open-minded, but never forget to do research for yourself.
Another thing that you do, Oyinye, that is very, very personal, for me, is your NGO, Feed Me Organization. Well done, I would say. Well done, because in the country where, you know, so many people are hungry and things like that, I mean, it's very nice to see young Nigerian, you know, doing things like that for people. Sometimes I really do not like to call them less privileged, but okay, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So how did you come about that one? What was that thing that struck you that you're like, okay, I'm just going to do this?
Okay, so I like food.
I like food.
I really like food. I like cooking. I like eating. I like going to shop. I feel like everything has to do with food. I guess the only part I haven't really explored is farming. But I had a fish farm before, like a fish pond, okay. Rather. Let me see that. So I like everything that has to do with food. And I just thought, so someday, I typically would help people around me, people in my Indian community, give them food, give them money for food and things like that. And then someday it struck me that so many people are sleeping and they're hungry or on an empty stomach, you know. And mine, who we had served in NYSC together and we had done, you know, some projects under NYSC. And she, we're just talking about it, and she's like, you know, let's do something that creates a platform for not only us to help, for other people to help, to join us in helping. So, I mean, I've always been doing it, but for creating the Feeding Foundation with my partner, it was an opportunity for us to allow other people who are interested, people like you, any other person that's listening to me, to say, okay, you know what, I also want to help people, I don't know how to do it, or I don't know how to go about it, or the, you know, I don't have the structure or the patience, you know, sometimes you need to be able to manage beneficiaries properly. So that's why we instituted the foundation, and I started creating systemic programs that you don't just give out food. There's this saying that, you know, you teach a man to fish instead of giving him fish, right? Mm. Something like that. So for us at Feeding Foundation, we don't just give them food. So we identify beneficiaries in the community. We start by giving them food boxes. So a food box will typically contain all the different things that they need. And we also help them, teach them about balanced diet. So a food box will contain yam, rice, beans, egg, a carton of noodles, oil, salt, seasoning cubes, literally everything that they would need to be able to feed themselves and their family for a minimum of 4 weeks. Now, depending on how small or large the family is, but a food box is supposed to last a family for 4 to 6 weeks. And we give them the food box every month for a minimum of 3 months. Within those 3 months, we'll then try to pair them with either a job or a skill that they can use to make money for themselves. So the idea is, by the time you leave the program in 3 months, you know, you're able to fend for your family and buy food for your family. You also understood the importance of a balanced diet. So you're not going to just buy only gari and drink gari every day. Hmm. You understand? We also teach them how to be able to manage their balanced diet on a budget. So being able to take advantage of fruits in season, you know, vegetables in season. When tomato is in season, you use a lot of tomatoes in your food. When mango is in season, you buy mango for your children. You don't have to look at, you know, oh, apple is foreign, apple is expensive. One of the ones that are not foreign, that are local here and are cheap when they're in season. So we teach them all those things all within those 3 months. So at the end of the 3 months, when we stop giving them food, they're able to, one, provide for their family, by as in they already have a job or a business that they have set up, and then they're able to provide for their families themselves, and then understand balanced diet. And we also do like an ongoing checking on them, just to be sure that they're adhering to what we've taught them about having a balanced diet and not just sticking to one class of food because of funds or something. Yeah.
And the funding, do you do it yourself or you have people with support?
We started out ourselves. Over time, we have people who support. We usually do like a campaign or a drive to say, oh, we're about to do another program, you know, if you're interested. We have people who support in kind, who just probably give us maybe 10 bags of rice and say, okay, you're sharing, take this. We have people who support in terms of transport. We have people who support in terms of funds. So yes, we don't do this alone, but I'm glad we started, because when we started, it was like, how are we going to do this? So we started with our personal funds, and then, you know, from family and friends. But right now we do have people who support us, and we're always really looking for people who support us. We also help people to implement their own programs. But at the core of it for us is we want people to be able to eat and eat well, right? Even if you're going to have 2 meals a day, but ensuring that you're having a balanced diet and you're eating well, you know, and not just sticking to one class of food because of fund limitations or because of lack of understanding. Because some of them who are not beneficiaries but in that community realize that they had the money, you know, they were able to provide for their family. But then they were just thinking in terms of, oh, what will make my children feel full faster? And second story, I met this woman who is, you know, fairly comfortable, right? She's able to provide for her children and they go to school. But then just because she wants to manage food, what she does is she puts a lot of pepper where she cooks. Oh, so as the children are eating, they're drinking a lot of water, so they get full faster, you see. So we had to explain to her the dangers of doing that. You put pepper, a lot of pepper in small children's food just because they drink a lot of water and then they get full faster. So the food will last you, for example, like a bag of rice will last a lot longer for her because she's going to just cook small children's rice, put plenty of pepper, everybody drink water and go to bed. Right. So sometimes not even just that. So that knowledge is important. So we also teach them, you know, understanding balanced diets, understanding the different classes of food, especially if you have growing children. You know, this at that point in their life, it's very important that they get nutritional food and not just something to fill their bellies. Yes. So that's why we do what we do.
No, well, you're doing well, I would say. And in the course of this interview, there is something that has, you know, kept coming, is you always use the word we. So somehow it seems to me like you are someone who does business with partners. How important is it to carry these people along and work and partner together?
That's very interesting. So I believe that as individuals, we're not created to work in isolation, right? So everything, and honestly, me as a person, I have people as one of my core values. At the core of everything I do, I care about people and I care about businesses, right? And so every job that I've done, every business that I build, every foundation I support, is really because the people that are being impacted, I care about that or I care about the business, you know? And then the business would subsequently impact people. So when it comes to dealing with teams, I realize that I can't do everything alone, to be honest, right? I can't do everything alone. With the impact I want to make on the lives of people here in Nigeria and Africa, I realize that people are very important in implementing my visions. And sometimes it doesn't have to be my vision. I'm also very important in implementing the vision of others, right? When I see that, okay, I see the bigger picture, I see how it's beneficial, and then I'll just go head in to be able to support those people's ideas and those people's visions. Managing a team is a very delicate aspect of running a business that I feel like people don't talk about enough, but I'm very intentional about it. I read widely about how to manage a team, how to help get people to feel seen and to feel heard. I would never take credit for the work that I have done with the team, because no matter that, even the littlest activity that was done by somebody else on that team, it contributed to the success of that vision.
Right.
So I want people to always feel seen. I always try to ensure that people that work with me, they feel seen, they feel valued. And then they also feel like, oh, we understand what we're working towards. Oh, we're starting this way now, but this is the bigger picture. And then people are able to see exactly where what they are doing fits into the bigger picture, right? So for me, that's how I handle, or that's how I manage teams and work with people and partners. So for example, for the foundation, a lot of people who contribute, they want to remain anonymous, right? But then I would still send out messages to say, you sent us maybe 5 bags of rice, we're able to do this with this, and this is the impact so far. Or we've closed out this program, this is how the program went, this is the impact of the program, thank you so much for your support. That person feels like, oh, you know, I had a feedback of someone who tells me, I give the foundation all the time, but you're the only person who would keep sending updates to say, see what has happened, we checked in with these people and see what, look at the impact that your money or that bag of rice that you gave us has made on this person's life. And for her, she was extremely grateful that, yes, she didn't want to be known. She didn't want us brandishing her name or, you know, her company logo anywhere, but that we found it important to keep her in the loop. So people want to be seen. No matter how somebody says, I love being in the background, people want to be seen that, oh, you know, you see them, you understand them, and you appreciate, you know, their contributions. And that's really what I do for people I work with.
I mean, that's very, very, because I noticed that you kept saying we, and I was like, okay, I think she works with people, and this is a time in, you know, where many people are like, oh, I don't want this person to take my star, or I don't want this person to take my business idea. And seeing that you're working with people and you guys are making, you know, something out of all of this is actually beautiful. Let's say the last question, maybe. Maybe not. I try not to guarantee that. What do you think young people need to build? You know, how do you think they should build a successful career? And what advice are you going to, you know, give them?
I'm still a young person.
Well, you are still a young person,
need the advice myself too.
Well, whatever advice that you were given that you've, you know, in the past years, maybe from the TOE thing, foundation, whatever it is, just share with us.
So I'm going to say a couple of things. So I think first of all, no, you need to understand nobody has it all figured out. Like, you can check your faves. Everybody, when you read their books, their articles, their speeches, webinars, all of that, you see that they always tell you, you know, I just had an idea of where I want to be, or I want to make an impact, all this. But then they never had it all figured out as to, I'm going to do this, and then this next, and this next. So I believe that, first of all, that pressure of, oh my goodness, this person is doing this and this
better
and this.
They
probably also didn't have it all figured out. So give yourself some grace and understand that nobody has it all figured out. So you also don't have it all figured out. It's fine, you know, it's okay. But I think that now, that being said, you need to know, have a general idea of your values and what you want to do. Right, so what are the things that keep you grounded? So I've mentioned one of my values, which is people, and that thing is integrity. I strongly believe that you should always do the right thing, no matter if someone is watching or not, right? Because minus the fact that somebody may not be watching, people are actually always watching. So I strongly believe in integrity, being able to do the right thing when nobody's watching. So what are your core values? What are your non-negotiables? What are the things that, you know, where do you draw the line as a person? What are your boundaries? I think that helps you in shaping your career, shaping the businesses, the kind of deals that you go into, the things that you would not do, and things that you absolutely not stand for. That absolutely helps with direction. So some opportunities will come your way, and you say, this doesn't align with my values, this doesn't align with things that I want to stand for as a person, and you can confidently pass up on those opportunities, right? I also say, and that thing is, invest in yourself. Personally, I'm very big on budget. So I have a personal development budget. Every month, I have a certain amount of money that I put aside to increase my knowledge. It could be courses. It could be going for networking events. So that's where I'll take my transport from, you know, to, if I'm going for a personal networking event, I feel like, okay, no, there are people that are speaking at this event, and it'll be helpful for me. I read books. I will buy books, audio books, physical books, just to increase my knowledge. Investing in yourself is so important. I like that now it's very popular. People do a lot of online courses, and you see people switching careers because they've done an online course. See someone that's done an online, or even self-taught developers. People have gone online, they've learned a lot of, you know, software engineering, and then now they're doing that. So I love that people are now even transitioning different careers from learning things online. So investing in yourself is so important, you know. And I think that you put your mind to something, it's very possible. Don't say, oh, coding is too hard, so I'm not going to do it, you know. You've not even tried. So why not do a free course to see if it's something that you like or not before you then invest in it? But investing in yourself is very important.
Okay.
And then be ready to serve, right? I like the fact that you said, oh, in these times, everybody's saying, I don't want to take my star. I want to be the face of this. Be ready to serve. You need to be able to learn. Every business and company I've been a part of, I've always been ready to serve. I want to learn. I want to understand how I can help the company to reach its goals. So it's not about who's taking the credits. I really want to be able to apply myself. So be ready to serve. Be ready to learn. Apply yourself, you know. And then you see all of that connecting to what your bigger picture for yourself is, what your vision for yourself is. And it's okay if, you know, at this point in your life, you want to secure the bag. Like, I want a job that, you know, is going to put, solve the bills, pay the bills. That's fine. Don't let anybody feel like, oh, you're not going after your passion, so you're less of a person. It's completely okay, in my opinion, obviously within legal bounds, right, to create opportunities that help you to pay the bills. And once you're a bit more comfortable where, you know, your driving force is not paying bills anymore, then you can pursue your passions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lest I forget, is my stash, is it a federal government approved business?
Yes, we have all the licenses that we are supposed to have as a financial institution.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is approved.
I try to make that clear so we don't miss it. Thank you so much, Onye Egwego. It's so nice to have you. I have personally, I think I have to talk to you about what to do and what not to do with this whole finance. I'm one of those people. Let's spend the money YOLO. Even if we don't have the money, let's spend it YOLO. We would figure out something tomorrow. But now I read Smart Money Women. Is this Smart Money Women? Mm-hmm. Many years ago, the past one and the two. And I absolutely love this book. Absolutely love. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite books. And, you know, I've been putting all of that in place, you know, what to do and what not to do, how to save as a woman in Nigeria. And I know we want to buy this very expensive human hair, want to buy the nice clothes, nicest clothes and all of that. But at the end of the day, you want to also have a good life. So we hope we do. We hope to. So thank you so much for, you know, sharing your wealth of knowledge with us.
Thank you too. Thank you so much for having me. I just hope that anyone who listens to this gains a thing or two, and I'm always happy to help. Thank you so much, Helen.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Memoir of a Niger Girl.
That is it on today's episode of Memoir of a Niger Girl. I know this is not the episode that you learn one or two things. I'm sure that you learned a lot of things. I did as well, and now I know what and what not to do, how to manage my money and also multiply my money, and what is the right business. Maybe there's no right business, but okay, where should I put my money? Stock, bonds, real estate and whatnot. Nigeria is Nigeria in. Let's be smart. And Onye was a fantastic guest, and thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge. This is Memo of a Niger Girl. I'll catch you next week, same place. Don't touch the dial. Continue to listen to us. We are also available on all podcast platforms. Continue watching. Yes, please watch, subscribe, like and share. I will see you next week. My name is Helen and this is Memo of a Niger Girl. By the way, do not forget to follow us on social media, helen.love.23, ellen.mwang. Yes, once again, Memo of a Niger Girl is available everywhere on social media and also your podcast platform, all your favorite podcast platforms. We are there. Check us out and enjoy the week and enjoy Nigeria. Bye. I am a Nigerian lady who knows someone that knows someone, and that person is a friend of another. In Nigeria, everybody knows somebody.
Memoir of a Niger Girl.
My diary, my friend's discussion, my acquaintances conversation, all on this table. Follow me and let's talk.